This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Going to finish my LeBron vaccination take and break down these playoff games we saw. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. So I appreciate LeBron's position in that, you know, take a vaccine like, well, let me tell the story. Okay, so LeBron had been in violation of health and safety protocols concerning COVID. He attended an event. The league said actually it was an outdoor event. He wasn't there for very long. Everyone at the event was tested. He's eligible to keep playing. But the optics were LeBron violated protocol, and of course the NBA is not going to suspend him. And when LeBron was asked about it, he didn't indicate whether or not he'd been vaccinated. Now, I understand, I appreciate LeBron's predicament if he hasn't been vaccinated. For example, LeBron might think, look, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine has been around for, I don't know, 80 years now or something. So there's lots and lots of data about that. But this thing they just came out with, I don't know what the long-term effects are or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, I think I'd say my answer to that would be, well, do you know what the long-term effects of COVID are? But at any rate, and which one do you think is worse? But anyway, if that's the way he feels, I appreciate it. And I understand also why he wouldn't want to say, no, I didn't get it, because he realizes he's a role model and he wouldn't want others to maybe make that same decision if he's not sure about the decision himself, right? If he's thinking, you know, maybe it's best I do, but I don't want to be the guinea pig on this one, right? And he doesn't want to advise, especially could have a societal effect. Many people don't get it. And at the same time, he doesn't want to say, yes, go get it, because then he'd be a hypocrite. So everyone else should be the guinea pig but him, right? He's in a tough spot if that's the choice he's made. And I can appreciate that choice. Now, if I were running the NBA, you get the shot or you get vaccinated or you don't play. Just like if I had a school, if you don't get measles, mumps, rubella vaccination, you can't come to school. And that's because the loony birds who are anti-vaxxers like are completely out of control. This is completely pseudoscience. It's nonsense. It's garbage science. And this is uncontroversial. And by the way, if I'm hurting a lot of people's feelings, that's your problem. Good. You should have your feelings hurt. Smarten up. If you are that susceptible to low quality information that you, for example, you're afraid of autism because through vaccinations, it's just nonsense. Nonsense science. And so there's been this enormous anti-vaxxer campaign. Where at a certain point in L.A., I remember Disneyland, and like there was like measles back. And I actually spoke to an administrator at one of my kids' schools. I said, you know, should require vaccines. Well, there's a big financial incentive for the medical profession to go. No, there isn't. That's not – where are you getting this nonsense from? The democratization of media has led to a lot of low-quality information and a lot of people who don't have the capacity, they're not equipped to suss out and understand this is low quality information, this is high quality information. You know, like bad ideas can catch on and spread. And so now we have a recurrence of some diseases that we basically, for the most part, eradicated. And so like I have very little, while I appreciate a position, a public figure who may have misgivings like LeBron is in. Remember when we were in a pandemic and millions of people were dying, hundreds of thousands in this country, and we're all like, oh my God, if only we had a vaccine, it would be – we have a vaccine now. So if I were running the NBA, you get vaccinated or you don't play. Anthony Davis, by the way, says the Lakers game one loss is on him. This is Anthony Davis at the post-game presser.
There's no way we're winning a game. Let alone a series, you know, with me playing the way I play. So, I mean, this was on me. I take full responsibility for sure. We'd be better than two.
No way we're winning a game, let alone a series, if I'm playing that way. He's not wrong. AD's right. He was bad. DeAndre Ayton, first-year playoff performer, who's really green, is taking on a guy who stormed through the playoffs in AD last year and kind of shutting him down defensively. And getting what he wants offensively. 21 points, 16 boards for DeAndre Ayton. Nothing, basically, AD had terrible numbers. Listen, going into this playoffs, though, AD ate last year in the playoffs, partly because he was hitting shots from outside, from downtown. And he was hitting them beyond the rate he normally hits them. I was wondering if that was a repeatable skill or if he got a little lucky or if the combination of LeBron and Rondo meant that he was getting better looks. Or maybe was he just the kind of player who could rise to the occasion and outshoot his normal numbers when it mattered most? That wasn't the case in Game 1. In Game 1, DeAndre Ayton was better than him. It kind of reminded me about when I got on Westbrook for losing to the Celtics. Like, it's one thing not to be able to will yourself to be the best player on either team, right? Like, there's Jason Tatum. He's younger and taller and got a better shot, but I'm Russell Westbrook. I'll will myself to be better. No, Russ, I get it. You couldn't do that against Tatum. It's another thing to get outplayed by the opposing team's point guard. And Kemba can play, but Westbrook's supposed to be better than him. Same thing, AD. I get it. If given the nature of this season and then the groin after the leg and this and that, and you haven't played a lot, that you weren't the best player on either team. Like, there's Devin Booker. He's just playing better. But, dude, you got to be better than the center on the other team. You got to be better than that. And he wasn't. I think AD knows that's an issue. Frank Vogel, by the way, called Chris Paul's foul on LeBron James dangerous. Remember, LeBron and Chris Paul had a collision. Chris Paul's shoulder got hurt. He had to come out of the game, came back in, was clearly favoring it. And then Chris Paul kind of hooked LeBron's arm and undercut him. And while LeBron was in the air, LeBron came down hard on his shoulder. Vogel said, my view was an overly aggressive box out, dangerous play where LeBron was in the air and got undercut and some guys stood up for him. I agree with Coach here. I think Chris Paul is super competitive. And I know LeBron showed concern after their collision and Chris Paul's shoulder got hurt. And they're friends and everything. But boy, if you're on the court playing against Chris Paul, you ain't his friend. I agree. I thought it was kind of dirty. Here's Chris Paul at the post-game presser talking about his own shoulder injury.
I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Just kept thinking to myself, get through the game. I know I got a great team around me, people that help me work on my body and stuff like that all the time, as well as the Suns organization. So I'll be all right.
Meantime, out east, like Lakers, Suns, good game. And really the headline is this. Devin Booker stepped onto a playoff court for the first time in his career. LeBron James, AD, and Chris Paul were all sharing a court with him, and Devin Booker was easily the best player in the game. Shot 50-something percent from three, 90-something from the free throw line, 34, 8-7 from the field, assists and rebounds, whatever you need. Devin Booker is the closest thing offensively to Kobe Bryant that the league has right now. He's a little mini Mamba. Footwork, fearlessness, shots from anywhere, difficult shots, creating easy shots, hitting difficult ones, and doing it when you need it most. And by the way, shouldn't come as a surprise. They were 8-0 in the bubble before they ever had Chris Paul. Devin Booker was the best player in the bubble. Do people forget that? For an 8-0 team, the best player in the bubble. He averaged 31-6-5, I want to say. Did even better when they needed it in the playoffs. 34-8-7. Boy, Devin Booker is a special player. Start sizing him up for that Lakers uniform, LA. Got to get through this contract, and then we can sign him. Now on the Goodyear Hotline, David Fizdale, Coach Fizz, former head coach and NBA analyst. And a man who will deny sitting at home, twirling his mustache, smiling and snickering at the fact that both the Knicks and the Grizzlies, well, the Grizzlies didn't lose, but the Knicks lost. Come on, Fizz, somewhere in there, you're like, that's right, serves them right. They should have held on to me.
No, come on, man. You know me better than that. You know me better than that. No, I'm actually so excited just to see the fan base back in the building. And they're watching playoff basketball. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, two things I know about you, Coach Fizz, is one, you sound just like Tone Loke, and two, you don't have a hater's bone in your body. You're not built that way. I understand that.
No.
Coach, are the late?
I'm happy for. I'm happy to see it back playing. That was tough, you know, to see Trae Young, you know, go in there and make that shot. And they did the right thing. They ran two guys at him. Mm-hmm. He's just so elusive and hard to contain. You know, he got a great look at it. But they did the right thing.
You know, something I mentioned this earlier in the show, Coach. I want to see what you think. Like, Steph really, like, Babe Ruth once upon a time showed people, like, you don't need to just drag bunt and hit them where they ain't. You could swing for the fences, strike out, hit a lot of home runs. And he showed people the way. Like, dudes came along who were like, yeah, we can do that too. Not quite as good as him, but not as well as him, but they could do it very well. Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox.
Right.
And that's Steph Curry to me. Steph Curry's handles to me are not like Kyrie handles. Like, Kyrie knows exactly where that ball is going. Steph is guessing a little bit. And Steph is like, look, I got good handles. I'm gonna use them. I'm gonna be aggressive with them. And because he's the best shooter ever, and I'm gonna shoot like no matter what. I'm gonna take some tough shots, but they're gonna go in. Then dudes have come along like Lillard and Trae Young, who maybe don't have quite Steph's ability, but they're taking a page out of his book. Like, look, I got handles. I'm gonna be aggressive with them. I can shoot. I'm gonna be aggressive with it. And he's changed the game, and Steph has, and Trae Young is an example of it to me.
Yeah, I think where Steph was really is really unique is just he's a hunter for the three, and I mean at all ranges. And I think when we saw him come along, you know, where it was like he steps in the building, he's ready to shoot and will shoot, and creates off the dribble to get to spots at the three that most people would cringe at.
Right.
I do think that's had a big impact on the way the game is played and how these other guys now are seeing themselves and what they're, you know, what's considered a good shot, what's considered a makeable shot now is very different than what it was about 15 years ago. So, yeah, Dame is that way. You got Trae Young is that way. And I think you're just going to keep seeing guys come through the league. Kyrie is that way. You're going to keep seeing guys that come through to the league that really, really understand how to get that three ball off and make you pay, but also make you close in a way that they can now get into the paint and make great plays with their floater game, high finishes, and sprays to other people on the court.
Now, Coach, I want to do this like in the next 60 seconds. There's a lot of questions that I want to get to you. But I don't look for players to fail. I want them to succeed. But if I see a player choke, I'm not afraid to say, okay, that dude choked. Now, Steph, in 2016, ran the greatest half-court offense in the history of basketball. They won 73 games. But when it came down to it, game 7, fourth quarter at home, to be the greatest team ever, they went 4 minutes and 22 seconds, didn't score a point. And in fact, Steph had never won finals MVP or come close. But then I saw against Toronto him start to come to life in those pressurized situations in the finals. Kawhi looked like, oh, grown man time, and then Steph still won it, you know, late with threes. But I got to tell you, I saw against Memphis, season on the line, overtime, last 3:30 of overtime. With the season on the line, Steph had no points, no rebounds, no assists, and his team lost. Is there something to that, Coach?
Nah. I'm not going to read into that one, Max. I think just even the greatest have bad moments. And that's what makes them great is the response. That's what I look forward to is now, you know, here's Steph going to go back into the lab. The team's going to go back into the lab, hopefully get more health. And you see when great players get punched, you see a different product come out of them, a different ferocity. And so I think this year was just a matter of really getting a season underneath him. I mean, the guy was a scoring champ after being out for a while. You know, they aren't at full strength. They're not the team that they normally that we're used to. And so I think what you're going to see is next year you're going to see him come back and sharpen, you know, with a sharpened sword ready to go.
Talking to David Fizdale, former head coach and NBA analyst, of course, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Are the Lakers in trouble, Coach?
I wouldn't say they're in trouble yet, but there's definitely got to be some urgency because this is a different scenario, right? The Lakers are usually playing at home right now against the 7th or 8th seed, you know, tuning up. But you know, they're playing against a serious contender, a team that has the bravado and the gravitas. You know, Chris Paul brings a level of gravitas to this that, you know, can compete with the likes of LeBron James and people like that on that level, although he has not won the titles. But he has the respect level of all of those guys. And when he has a guy like Devin Booker and Ayton and the rest of that group, who I think James Jones has got to get a ton of credit for putting together, you know, that's a team you got to be worried about. There's got to be some urgency from the Lakers. And Monty Williams is a guy who I'm just so happy for, and I'm loving watching him. I'm learning from him, you know, and he's not going to let go of that 1-0 easily. He's going to really, really try to push his team to understand just getting 2-0 is just the status quo. You know, we can't celebrate because it's the Lakers. Just getting the 2-0 is what we're supposed to do because we have home court. And then the series is going to start up. And so Monty's going to really, you know, emphasize that to him. He's not going to let him celebrate. And the Lakers are going to have to bring a real high level of urgency if they want to knock off this talented team.
Good luck with Devin Booker on the other team. That kid is special. Coach, I mean, he's like it's like the reincarnation on offense of Kobe Bryant, the way he moves and the way he scores. But let me ask you something. I look at the West, LeBron and AD coming off the injuries, not a lot of continuity there. Also Schroeder off the safety protocols. And you look at Utah, Donovan Mitchell didn't play game one. When he does play, Kendrick Perkins was on First Take today making a big deal about the fact he's not in basketball shape, not like really in the rhythm playing. That's Utah. That's the Lakers. You just look around the Western Conference. The Clippers having big problems with the Mavs. The Mavs were the better team in last year's series till Porzingis got hurt. Even that one game, Porzingis got that wrongful ejection. The Mavs were outplaying him until then. So, like, I look around the West, like, I'm thinking there are a lot of question marks about every team. Which team gets out of the Western Conference, Coach?
Oh, what a brutal question. Yep. you know, before this all started, I would say the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Just because, one, they're the defending champs, and I think they have just really, really, you know, the toughest matchup guys with LeBron and AD. But when you look at the whole landscape, Max, I don't know. I mean, it is just so hard to look to, because it's all going to come down to who plays who and who's healthy when. And so I'm going to stay with the Lakers right now, but sitting here acting like I know, that would be foolish. But I'm going to stay with the Lakers just because they're the champs, and they do have those guys,
Coach,
and they do understand how to turn it on. So we'll see.
I want to get to this last one quickly before we get out of here, talking to David Fizdale here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. The Nets big three. Like, you saw KD trying to get it going, a lot of ISO, bringing the ball up, not passing the ball, no passes, shots. They were good looks. They just weren't going in. Harden checks back in the game, kind of organizes the offense. They don't even play that well, but they easily beat Boston. I like the Nets if healthy. I don't think anyone takes them seven games, Coach, East or West. What say you about the Eastern Conference with the Brooklyn Nets?
Oh, you know, they're the scariest team by far, obviously, because that offense is going to absolutely travel. I think my dark horse right now is Milwaukee because of the pain that they felt. I think they have an extreme level of toughness.
They should get used to that pain. They're going to feel some more in a little bit, Coach.
No, they got to go through it. And I think this series would tell you about Milwaukee. But if you watch the last few times down the stretch when Milwaukee played Philly and when Milwaukee played the Nets, Milwaukee looked really good in those games. And the matchups really look, you know, where Milwaukee has a lot of two-way guys, you know, and I think they have a lot of pain, you know, over the last few years, especially from guys like us who's always talking about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think Milwaukee, somehow this can be the year.
A lot of basketball dudes taking Milwaukee. A lot of basketball dudes taking them. I think people are overthinking it.
I do too.
Half-Baked.
I'm not, Max.
who was it in Half-Baked? I forgot the name of the character. They're going to kill him, yo. I mean, good luck with this Brooklyn Nets team, everyone. The great Coach David Fizdale on the Max Kellerman Show, denying that he's rooting against either the Memphis Grizzlies or the New York Knicks, as he always does when he comes on this show. He's not a hater. But, you know, you've got to think somewhere inside there, how could you be rooting for those teams? Thanks, Coach, for joining me. Raj and Brendan had clicked him off a long time ago, but I'm going to pretend he's still listening. Thanks so much, Coach, for joining me today on the Goodyear Hotline. Will the Mavs finish the job on the Clips this time? No doubt coming up. Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu, fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them. That's true. And apparently they're so legit that employers are lining up to hire their graduates in as little as 4 months. You can start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Sounds like Julio Jones has a message for Falcons fans. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coach David Fizdale joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we got?
All right, Max. The Mavs had the Clippers in trouble last year in the playoffs, but this time they'll finish the job.
Nah, son. The Mavs were my dark horse to start the year. But COVID, you know, really did a number on them. And Porzingis' injury did a number on them. And I don't think Porzingis' level of play at the moment is up to the task. And I think with Kawhi now, he's going to guard Luka more. That's going to, you know, it could get Kawhi in foul trouble, but it's also going to make it harder on Luka. And unless Porzingis can really start playing like a star, I like the Clippers. Of course, unless Paul George also doesn't play like a star. I think Rondo's presence on the Clippers helps them, and I think the Clippers beat the Mavs.
And yes or no question, can Kawhi still play elite defense?
Maybe not like he once did, though his offense is better than it used to be. You know, as he aged, his defense maybe is not quite what it once was, but his offense is better.
All right. Hey, you heard the message Julio Jones had on the phone there with Sharp saying, yeah, I'm out of there, son. Yo, the Falcons should just take any first-round pick they get for Julio right now.
First round, yeah. I don't think they'll get a first round. I think given Julio Jones' contract and his age, he's going to go for a second-round pick. I do think they'll get a second-round pick. And I would suggest to my New York football giants, though you have a lot of weapons on offense, you ain't got nobody like Julio Jones. Sorry. I'd love him on the Giants with Galladay and
open those something up for Barkley. Open. Yeah.
You know, you picked up Kadarius Toney and you got Saquon Barkley. Oh, if Daniel Jones can't do something with that, the Giants got a lot of draft picks.
You got 6-11 written all over.
Yeah, all over us. That's right.
No offensive line. But anyway, hey, man, Max Kellerman was impressed with Phil Mickelson's PGA major win at age of 50.
I am. The reason I'm impressed with it is the Tiger Woods effect is, I think, that for the first time ever, parents of athletic children, because Tiger Woods didn't look like a fat slob like a lot of these golfers, right? It's like, oh, look, he's in shape. A lot of these parents of athletic children started putting golf clubs in their hands, right, for the first time. And one of the reasons it was harder for Tiger to win majors after the injuries and the off the what would you call it, greens, field, what, problem, course problems, is that he was competing against a more athletic crop of world-class golfers than it had ever existed. And the fact is, Mickelson's competing against those guys now. As a fat 50-year-old. No, he fasts now. He's in better shape. Yeah, that's the difference between Phil Mickelson being in better shape and actually great athletic shape. So, yeah, I am impressed. It's harder now, I think, than ever to win at an advanced age, and he's the oldest ever to do it. So, congratulations, Phil Mickelson.
All right. Good job. Well, let us know who No Doubt was brought to us by, man. Let's get to these phone calls.
No Doubt was brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Jeff in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I enjoy your commentary, but I need to address your thoughts on the definition of sport.
Yeah.
I think the core element of a sport is competition, which involves physical skill.
Okay.
I think you've emphasized pure athleticism a little more I mean, I think that is required in some sports, you know, like basketball. LeBron's clearly a beast. But Brady, he's not a great pure athlete like somebody like Jackson or Vic, but he does possess great physical skill and other attributes that make him
I agree, but by playing – wait, I just want to say, I agree with you. By a broad definition, you're right. But by a broad definition, pool also counts as a sport. There is some physical skill involved in pool. It is a competition. But what you would might say to me is, yeah, but Max, you know what I mean. And what I'm trying to pin down is you know what I mean part, right? That golf is a sport, but not as much of a sport as, say, football. So what are we really talking about? With Brady, you might say, yes, he's the greatest football player ever because of the position he plays, but he's not as athletic as, say, someone like Michael Vick. And that's right. He's not in certain ways. But because he plays a sport, I am able to make reasonably accurate judgments about his athletic ability. Watching him play football, you can assess those things. You cannot assess those things watching someone play golf. You can assess their hand-eye coordination, a certain amount of torque in terms of, you know, their swing, and certainly their mental focus and ability to perform under pressure. But you know nothing of their speed or real strength or ability to adjust on the fly in the moment to something because the ball's on a tee. So if golf is a sport, it's certainly not as much of a sport as, say, baseball or basketball or football, but more of a sport than, say, pool, which, according to your definition, also qualifies as a sport. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll answer your calls on LeBron and Mickelson coming up in Last Take, The Ultimate Fighter, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract, is back. Stream the season premiere on Tuesday, June 1st, only on ESPN Plus. If you don't have ESPN Plus for you right yet, I can just tell you, you'll see. Just try it. There is no better bang for your entertainment buck anywhere, period. People used to say, like, the Sunday Times back when I was a kid, that's the best value for your dollar, whatever it was. Yeah, okay, back then, right, whatever. But today, the best value for your entertainment buck is ESPN Plus by a factor of infinity. It is so good if you're a sports fan. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now. You will not be sorry. By the way, remember when you had to pay for ESPN Insider? That's Plus, only you get the fights and you get Joe Montana and Kobe Bryant breaking stuff down and you get all kinds of free content or extra content for what you used to pay for an Insider account. ESPNplus.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Should the NBA have banned LeBron over health and safety protocol issues? I mean, he attended an event, and it violated health and safety protocol issues. Although the league specified that LeBron, as opposed to Kyrie, for example, the event was outside versus indoors. LeBron was there for a short while versus hours. And everyone there was tested versus not everyone's tested. Now, LeBron's in a tough spot because he had a back and forth with a reporter who asked him about the vaccine. Has he been vaccinated? And I imagine if LeBron doesn't want to be vaccinated, let's say it's because he's like, let's say it's not just some like idiotic anti-vaxxer thing, right? Because there's a whole anti-vaxxer movement in this country of people who are very susceptible to low-quality information and believe in pseudoscience and gobbledygook, like nonsense, like garbage ideas. And they believe it. So, like, you know, measles made a comeback. People who don't get vaccinated while the rest of the population's being vaccinated, achieving herd immunity, are called freeloaders. They're freeloading off the herd immunity provided by everybody else. Nevertheless, I do understand if someone says today something like, look, it's not anything about vaccinations per se. I don't believe in any garbage nonsense like, oh, it gives you autism, which it doesn't. But I do think that measles, mumps, rubella vaccines have been around for decades and decades and decades, almost like 100 years, 80 years. And so I don't want to be a guinea pig in this kind of first wave of this new vaccine. I understand if someone's nervous about that. I also understand if you're a very public figure like LeBron James, you don't want to say it out loud because then you're afraid you may influence other people to not get the vaccine and you're not 100% sure you're right. You just have misgivings. And you don't want to create a health contribute to a health crisis by dissuading people from getting it. And at the same time, you don't want to come out and say, hey, everyone, get the vaccine, because then you're saying, I don't want to be a guinea pig. I want everyone else to be, or I'll be hypocritical. So it puts them in a tough spot if something like that is going on. This is LeBron's back and forth with the reporter.
No. Anything that I do off the floor is predicated to my family, for the majority. I mean, for 99.9% of that. So, it's about the health and safety of my family. And that's what it came down to. Me being available to my teammates on the floor is me taking my body, doing everything I can do to make sure I'm available both mentally, physically, and spiritually as well. So, but anything of that nature, that's all family talk.
And do you mind me asking if you're confirming that you did get the vaccine?
It's not a big deal.
It's a very big deal. He's wrong about that. It's a big deal. It's not a big deal. Answer the question. And here's the other thing. If I ran the NBA, it'd be real simple. Because I'm sure a lot of guys don't get the vaccine because it's optional. If I ran the NBA, vaccine or you don't play. Guarantee you, 99% of the league would be vaccinated now to get the paycheck. Oh, you can't do that. The hell I can't. Do you know how many schools? You got to get measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, right? New York State, you want to go to a state school, you got to get you got to be vaccinated. We were going through a pandemic, 600,000 Americans dead, millions worldwide dead. The whole time we're like, oh my God, if we could only come up with a vaccine, it's a miracle. We have the vaccine now. What are people doing? Get vaccinated. Once we get to 70-75%, we're heard. The president and the CDC, isn't it nice when the president and the CDC are saying the same thing, came out and said, vaccinated adults, twice vaccinated adults, if you're Pfizer or Moderna, can take off your masks and stop social distancing inside and outside. There are no other sides. There's just inside and outside. In other words, by and large, it's over. You're back to normal if you get twice vaccinated. Just get the vaccine. I got the vaccine. I got it twice. Got Pfizer twice. Done. I'm good. Zach in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? How you doing?
What's going on, Zach?
So, to answer your question about LeBron, yeah, realistically, I mean, yeah, he should have been suspended or fined. I mean, we're almost done with this COVID thing. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, if it wasn't LeBron James, any other star in the NBA, would they get suspended?
I would suspension, no, but going through health and safety, I know what you mean. Like, are you going to have to miss time? That's different. It's not punitive. Bad, you are suspended. It's, look, you now have to go through health and safety protocols. That takes a couple weeks. You got to test negative and negative and negative. And but the league is claiming, my first instinct is yes. If it's not LeBron, or rather, to answer your question, if it's not LeBron, they're sitting out, right? The league insists that the reason LeBron is because it's at the opinion of their medical professionals. That given the fact that it was outdoors, everyone was tested and he was only there briefly, it's okay. I think a lot of these protocols were put in place when the pandemic was raging. But now, for the first time in like almost a year, everything's down. Incidents of COVID are down and deaths from COVID are down and hospitalizations are down and over 50% of the population's now been vaccinated. Like, we're coming out of it. And I think that a lot of measures that were taken at the height of the pandemic need to be reconsidered. I was in an Apple store in Connecticut over the weekend, and they're still social distancing with masks. I don't know. Like, I've had the vaccine twice. I don't know why. But I think people are used to doing it a certain way, and sometimes institutions take a while to change. What's up, Raj?
America has to know. What were you doing in an Apple store? What did you get to further
my,
your
I'll show you. See, my phone, you know that glass, the tempered glass you get put on the front? And then the rubberized case, everyone's like, oh, don't get the case because you're just going to drop, you know, you won't, just be careful with your phone. Every time I try and be careful with my phone, I break it. So I got it. And then after a while, that plastic cracks. It looks bad. I just wanted to switch it out so it looked, you know, new. And I did it. It was fine. Cost me $94, Raj. What do you want from me? What a racket they got going on. Max Kellerman Show, Shanae and Gola Jr. coming up. ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.